In the second reading today, we are told that St. John had a vision of what heaven is going to be. And he said that he saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The heavenly Jerusalem is not a physical city. The heavenly Jerusalem is the saints. You and I are called to be members of the new and heavenly Jerusalem. And if that's the case, then our Lord tells us that the old order has passed away. We are to be living according to a new way. And that new way is exactly what our Lord teaches us in the gospel tonight. He said, "I give you a new commandment, love one another." Our society has completely twisted the concept of love, turned it upside down, and made it into something that is rather gross, quite honestly. It's, on one hand, something filthy. On another hand, it's nothing but gush. Neither one of them are love. Love can't be filthy. Love is not perverse. Love is not using another person for one's own selfish pleasure or violating another's dignity. That's not love at all. Nor is love about an emotion. We have this feeling or this idea that love is just about feelings, and it's this warm, gushy feeling that I have when I'm in love. Yuck. It's not what love is at all. I ask the kids this question when I talk to them in school. And when they give me that kind of an answer about what love is, I ask them to think about that for a minute. Think about the person that they love the most in this world. It's usually their mom or their dad. Then I say to them, "So when you go home from school today, are you going to gush all over your mom? Are you going to say, 'Oh, mom, oh'?" They say, "Oh, that's gross." I said, "Right. But you love your mom more than anybody in the world. But it's not about gush, is it?" So love isn't about gush. So what is it? It's a tragedy, first of all, that we even have to ask the question. Because it's the very purpose of our existence. It's what we were created for. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and St. John puts it as succinctly as possible and says, God is love. Period. God is love. And you and I are made in the image and likeness of love. We're made to love and we're made to be loved. And yet we don't even know what it is. That's how badly we have been affected by sin, by the effects of original sin as well as our own. And so Jesus lays it out for us. Let's first look at the context of what he tells us. This is from the 13th chapter of St. John's Gospel, which is the Last Supper. So Jesus had just washed the feet of his disciples. He had just at the Last Supper, it's not in St. John's Gospel, it's in the other three, he had just consecrated the Eucharist. And then he says to his apostles, "As I have loved you, you should love one another." Was it a gushy feeling to wash the feet of the apostles? Can you imagine how filthy their feet would have been? But Jesus humbled himself and he served because he told us that he came into this world not to be served, but to serve. So love is service. But when we look at it from the point of view of what he did in the Eucharist, he sacrificed himself. At that moment, he sacrificed himself sacramentally. On the cross, obviously, he sacrificed himself physically. That is the ultimate act of love that humanity has ever seen. And he tells us, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. So look at the cross. There is love. That's not gushy. It's certainly not impure and filthy. That is pure and absolute perfect love. So let's define love then a little differently. Love is doing what is always best for the other. That's what love is, doing always what is best for the other. That means dying to self in order to live for someone else, seeking to build up the other one, giving to the other, serving the other. And within a marriage, because we see that that's what heaven is going to be, is a marriage. It is two people who are both seeking the good of one another, both seeking to give to one another, both seeking to build one another up. As I often will point out to couples on the day of their marriage, I will say, what you are vowing today is that you will never, ever be selfish again. Now, do we really think they're going to walk out of church and never be selfish again? Huh. Do we expect, however, that by the time that they die, they will have learned to no longer be selfish, that they will have learned to love as they made a vow to God and to one another that they were going to do? Yes. That is what it's all about. Because in heaven, remember, there is no selfishness, zero, none. It is absolute and pure charity, pure love. No selfishness at all. We are simply loving God, and God is loving us. That's what it's all about. That's what this life is about. Remember, this life is about choosing where we're going to spend eternity. And you have two options. That's it. It's either love or it's selfishness. Because remember, hell is pure selfishness. There is zero love in hell. None. Pure selfishness. Heaven is pure love with no selfishness. And because we live in this extraordinarily selfish society, it has affected all of us. So we have to make a real choice to love. And that means to die to ourselves, to not be selfish. That's hard in a society like ours. It's hard, I mean, it's hard anytime because of sin, but in a society like ours, where we've been taught, look out for number one. Number one, sadly, isn't God. Number one is me. How pathetic. That's what Satan did. Look at where it got him. That's not what we want to be about. But the difficulty of this whole thing is, as St. Paul said, so in case you think that I'm a nut because I keep talking about these things, this is St. Paul to the early Christians. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We're going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested. Our hope is going to be tested. Our charity is going to be tested. It has to be. How can it be purified? How can it become perfect? Unless we have to be able to practice these virtues in difficult circumstances. And so where our society tells us, oh, God doesn't want this for you, God just wants you to be happy. God wants you to be a saint. And yes, saints are joyful, but getting there isn't always a joy. It comes with a lot of trials. It's the cross. And the saints, as they go through that, they're changed. They're conformed to the cross. They begin to recognize that this is a blessing rather than a curse as we tend to look at it. And they learn to rejoice in it and to embrace it, but it doesn't start that way. And so it's not going to start that way in us either. But it's the choice to cooperate with that. It's the choice to be able to look at the love of God for us and to say, that is what the Lord is asking me to do for others. Again, think about what heaven is going to be. You are going to love every single person in heaven perfectly. And every single person in heaven is going to love you perfectly. And altogether we will love God and He will love us perfectly. So if you look around, even just the number of people here, and you say, wait a minute, let's say that we're all going to go to heaven. There's no guarantee of that, I know, but let's say that we are. We're all going to go to heaven. How do you love all these people? Again, there are differing kinds of love, so you're not expected to love everybody the same way you would love your spouse or your children. But do you want what's truly best for others? Do you treat them with charity? Do you treat them with respect? Do you recognize their dignity and uphold that dignity? Do you call them to greater holiness? Do you want what is truly best for them? Those are the kinds of things that we want to look at. There are some people that we don't like. Those are the ones that are going to test our love the most. If we really think about it, we tend to think that our friends are the ones who are the greatest, but it's our enemies who actually help us the most, because we have to practice a lot more virtue toward people that we don't like than toward the people we do like. It doesn't take much virtue to love the people who love you. It takes a lot of virtue to love somebody who doesn't love you. So we have to learn to see things that way. That's hard to do. But if we can learn to embrace the cross, if we can learn to see that what God is doing in allowing some of the struggles and difficulties in our lives is to help us to grow in love, to grow in virtue, then we can actually rejoice in those things rather than complain and whine and run away from them. So that's a great challenge for all of us. But again, if we remember, the Lord is the one who said the greatest commandments are love God and love your neighbor. And then He tells us that we have to love one another. It's a commandment, and He repeats it several times. St. John picks it up, and in his readings, he repeats it several more times. So we can't really miss the point. But think about it again. The fact that God would actually have to come down from heaven, take on a human nature, and not only command us to do the very thing that we were created to do, and the only thing that is going to fulfill us, then He even had to show us what it meant. That's how badly we have been messed up by sin. That we have to be commanded to do the thing that's going to fulfill us. That doesn't even make sense. But that's the reality. That's how difficult this is for us now. So it's not something that comes easily. It is supposed to be something that comes naturally, but it's not anymore. It has to be a choice. We have to choose to love. We have to choose to embrace this and to really strive to die to ourselves so that we can live for others. That's what Jesus did. And if we're to love one another as he has loved us, and as he continues to love us, then we look at the cross. We look at what he does for us in the Holy Eucharist. That's the example that he holds up. And he says, that's the way that you and I are to love, as he does. That's a tall order, but that's heaven. That's what it means to be a member of the New Jerusalem, to be a member of the Bride of Christ. That's the new order. The old order is an order of sin, but we've been baptized. We're supposed to be living in a new way. So once we can see this, then we can choose it. We can strive to be able to live as God created us to live. And he's given us the ability again through his grace, not by our own ability, but by his grace to be able to live as he created us to do. And as I said, it is the only thing that is going to fulfill us. So all the advertisers who tell us all this material stuff is going to fulfill us, or all the pleasure or all the selfishness or whatever is going to fulfill us, it never does. We all know that well enough. There is only one thing that can fulfill us, and that's to do what we were created to do, and that's to love. So let's get the goofy ideas of what love are out of our heads, and let's look at what it really is. It's not about this fairy tale nonsense. It's certainly not about filth and perversion as it's being presented to us. It is about the cross. It is about a total giving of self. It is a dying to self, to live for others. It is seeking always the good of the other person.